You have your Bibles there, I hope. If you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. If you got your Bibles, you can, before you start looking and finding that scripture, if you would, just stick your finger in there and hold your Bible up. Just as accountability that you brought them. I know some of you have it in your phone, so you may be holding your phone up. We won't think that to be too odd. But John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." What you hold in your hand this morning is the truth of God. It's all that is contained, all that's necessary, all that we need is found right there in the scripture. You and I, need, if we need wisdom, it's in the pages of the Bible. If we need counsel for our marriage, it's in the pages of the Bible. If we need help raising our children, it's in the pages of your Bible. If we need instruction about how to live every day, how to conduct ourselves, it's right there in the Bible. If we need to know how to grow spiritually to maturity, it's found right there in the Bible. The truth of God's word never changes. It's always the same. That's the reason why it's perfect. It is eternal. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's God-breathed. That means you and I need to be busy knowing more about God's word, doesn't it? And so I hope that you spent time this week in God's Word. If you have, I know you've been blessed. And I know that God is directing your life in His will. If you have neglected His Word, I would say that most likely you're struggling in some areas of your life. Probably not knowing for sure what to do or how to do it. Maybe even spinning your wheels a little bit. Not that if you're in God's Word, everything is going to be perfect. But in God's Word, you're able to take even the trials and the temptations, and you're able to not just navigate, you're able to live victoriously. Without God's word, that's often, I would describe it as chaos or confusion. The Bible tells us in James that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. You know, the place where God usually provides that wisdom, He doesn't just impart it into you, although God can, and that's really what He says there, but He uses His word to impart that wisdom to you. And the Bible says if you don't do that, the Bible tells us that we can be double-minded. And there in James it says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And unstable means that there's really no footing, there's no foundation, there's chaos, if you will. Confusion. And so I hope that helps you this morning to encourage you to spend time in God's Word and asking God to give you wisdom. It's a pretty simple thing to have to ask God for wisdom. You know, when my kids, I had the grandkids over last weekend, and they got up on Saturday morning, and they wanted breakfast. And I asked them, I said, "What do you want for breakfast?" And they weren't hesitant at all. They knew exactly what they wanted. They wanted pancakes. They wanted pancakes with chocolate chips in them, Paul. That's what they wanted. You know what? I had no problem getting pancakes ready and getting the chips in the pancakes and cooking some pancakes for them. But you know, if I'd asked him that question or told him, all you got to do is tell me what you want and I'll provide it for you. If they could have sat there for 10 minutes and looked at me, if they hadn't have asked, I wouldn't have known. Now, God knows. But He instructs us to do what? Ask Him. Ask Him for that wisdom, and He'll give it to us. And if there's ever a time that we need wisdom, it's right now. Amen? We need to know how to take care of things in our life according to God's Word so that not only that we would be blessed, but more importantly, that we would bless Him. That we would be a blessing to our Father in heaven. You're there in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's look down at verse number 9. Let's see, we'll pick it up actually in verse number 10, okay? Verse number 10, and last week I'll remind you just as we preached Sunday morning and Sunday night from this same scripture, the title of the message was Perilous Times Are Here. We might call this part 3, Sunday morning being part 1, Sunday night being part 2. We look first of all at the dangerous world, and we saw that the word perilous, that's part of what it means, but it has the idea of draining, remember that? Has the idea of draining energy or strength from you. So as a Christian, we know that our strength comes from the Lord, right? It comes from the Lord. He tells us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, doesn't He? Tells us it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And he tells even Jonathan, he tells him to be strong and courageous, doesn't he? How is that done? Well, it says he surrenders his life as a servant to the Lord, that Joshua was strengthened to be able to do the Lord's work as Noah had done, or as Moses had done before him. And so we know that being strong in the Lord is what's required in the day that we live. You can be strong in yourself, but your energy runs out. Your ability to stand against this world, against temptations, to be able to do all the things that you need to do in your family, in your home, all the requirements that are there, to be able to be a witness to the Lord, to be able to worship Him and serve Him and grow and mature and to be a godly individual, it takes more than you're capable of. Jesus said it this way, without me ye can do nothing. And so we need to understand that it's only in His strength that these things can be accomplished in our life. And then the second thing that we looked at as we went through was a defiant world. And we saw that in the description from verse number 2 all the way down through verse number 8 or so. We saw that the world has got one, there's one overriding word that we could use for the descriptions given there. What is that? Selfishness. That's right, Brother Carl. It's selfishness. The individuals that are described here, the very first one, said that in the last days, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And then as you go down through there, really every other description fits that. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. What does that all say? It talks about an individual that is selfish. It's all about themselves, their flesh, what they want, what they desire. No understanding about God or other people. And literally Jesus sums up the Ten Commandments in this way. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. And the second commandment is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And these two commandments, all the law hinges. In other words, you could sum up the total law on those two things, loving God and loving your neighbor. Amen? And then those two things, if you were able to do those, you would fulfill the Ten Commandments. And so we understand then that selfishness does not have a place in the economy of God. You say, well, how am I to take care of my family? You can take care of your family better in submission to the Lord and selfless than you can in your own way and in your own flesh, selfish. As you're selfish, money seems to fly away. Things seem to fly away, but it's not just that. It's the attitude that you carry into relationships. It's the way that you actually carry yourself into the world. And those things can't be blessed by God. But what does God bless? He blesses us with what? Long-suffering and peace and joy and all the things that the Spirit gives to us and love. He blesses us with those as we submit to Him selflessly. Amen. And so in that description, we saw a defiant world, and everything that you see there can be summed up as you get down to verse number 5, and he uses 5, 6, and 7, and just real quickly this morning, finishing up on a defiant world, let me give it to you this way. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And on Sunday night, we saw that what that meant was they have a semblance of godliness. They might go to church. They might say that they're Christians. They might carry the banner of it. They might give some of their goods or some of their money away. They might do some really special things, might go on mission trips. They have a form of godliness. But when you look at their life, what is it that's missing? It's the power of God in their life. Men, now how can you see the power of God? The power of God is spoken out of our mouth. Hey, we don't have the power to change the hearts of men, but God does. If we use God's word in His will and with His strength, what happens whenever we speak the word of God? People are moved by that. We also know that whenever we look at our own life, we can see that there's without the power of the Lord, we can put on a front. We all know the difference where we've performed, where we've put on a front for people, a show, versus when we've truly been surrendered to the Lord and the strength of the Lord is what is driving us. We know the difference, don't we? And we can see that. And so this world has a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And we see a lot of this in our own nation. A lot of people saying we need to turn back to the way our founding fathers were. We need to turn back to the Lord. But when we look at their life and we look at any depth at all, we can see that there's no true commitment to the worship of God. There's no true commitment to the service of God. It's a shallow statement that they make. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be found there. I don't want to have just a form of godliness. I want to have godliness. I don't want to deny the power of God. I want God to be seen in my life and through my life. And I want people to be able to know that it's not me, but it's Him. Amen. And then the second thing that we looked at on Sunday night was the next verse. For of this sort are they who creep into houses and led away captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with various lusts. And here's the description: ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And if there was ever a time where people are ever learning and not able to come to the truth, it's now. They can have all kinds of knowledge. They can have all knowledge of science and all knowledge of art. And they can have all knowledge of every field and every facet that you can think of. But the fact of the matter is the truth, which is what? What is the truth?
Jesus Christ.
That's right. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the grave, offering salvation to any who will believe. They can have all the learning, but they can't come to that simple truth. That God loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And then we looked at the last one, which was what? He says, these are now as Jannes and Jambres also are withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. And so the last description of those are they are resistors of truth. They stand, and right now you can look out in our world, and if you can't see this, you are blind. They will call evil good and good evil. They will call the lies truth, and they will call the truth lies. It stands out as easy to see for a Christian. You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about, Brother Shannon. Then you better open your spiritual eyes. You better make sure that you have your credentials checked by the Lord Himself. That means that you've truly been saved and washed in the blood. Because I'm here to tell you that it's not hard to see. It's not hard to understand. And if you pay attention, you know these things. And you see that they resist the truth. They reject the truth right in front of them. And the second part of that is they are reprobate concerning the faith. That means that they are turned away from the faith. They want no part of the faith. And so we saw those things. That's in a defiant world. Well, this morning we're going to pick up in verse number 10, and we're going to see a daunting world. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Now, those are all extremely good things, aren't they? So Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, as you're going into these last days, it's going to be a dangerous time. Here's what men are going to look like. This is being preached to you. This is for you. This is the time in which you live. We try to make that abundantly clear to you that he wrote this to Timothy as a young pastor, but it's just as appropriate for me and you today that we need to understand the times that we live in. How would you prepare in a time for battle if you didn't know the battle was coming? You might be carrying around a basketball. You might be carrying around a baseball. But let me tell you, if you know the times are dangerous, you're not just carrying around the things that are our everyday life, but you are prepared for battle. Amen? You would be carrying around a sword or a gun or whatever it might be that you would go to battle with. You wouldn't go to battle with a bat, or you wouldn't go to battle with a basketball. But if you know that the times are dangerous, you act a different way. You behave a different way. You prepare a different way. As you look at many Christians today, it's as if they have no idea the very times that they live in. Everything is as if it was in the days of Noah. Amen. Right. Behaving as if it's nothing different. We have 1,000 years to go. Or Shannon, what's the big deal in my life? You know, even if the fact of the matter is you say, well, he told Timothy this, and Timothy wasn't in the last days, obviously, because that's been almost 2,000 years ago. No, you know what he's teaching Timothy? This is the way the Christian lives. This is the way we deport ourselves, as prepared always, because for the Christian, this is the way it is. It's always the last days for us here. You know why? This is not our home. We're strangers in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we act as if this is our citizenship here. And he's trying to get Timothy to be able to see what's necessary in his life so that he can teach those that he is preaching to as well. And so he says, after that good introduction there of all these good things, his doctrine, his manner of life, his purpose, I love that. That would preach, wouldn't it? His faith, his long-suffering, his charity, his patience. Now listen to these. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And then verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So get the picture that he's painting here. He says, Timothy, you've seen me. You've seen my life. You've seen that I lived in a godly manner, Timothy. You've seen that I love the Lord. You've seen that I displayed the Holy Spirit in my life, the attributes of the Holy Spirit. You've seen, Timothy, how I was patient and long-suffering whenever men came against me. And I didn't just rail against them, but I received it. And I was able to not just put up with it, but I was able to endure it cheerfully, Timothy. You've seen now how these persecutions came upon me, Timothy. Everywhere I went, literally everywhere that Paul went, he was persecuted. Timothy, you've watched my life. You've seen this. But then he brings it home, and that's what that verse number 12 is. Yea, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You want me to tell you another way of saying that? Timothy, you're going to face the same things.
Amen. Be prepared. Amen.
Now, I assure you that most Christians don't have any idea that this is the life of a Christian. Most of us don't. I put myself into that category. Most of us have deported our lives in such a way that we very literally have never made very many waves in this world as far as our proclamation of the gospel. And because of that, there's been very little persecution for us. We've gotten along because our lives are a lot like the rest of the world. Very little difference from us, except that we state that we're a Christian and that we go to church. But literally, Paul is teaching a doctrinal truth here that whenever you live godly, you're going to have trouble in this world, as Brother Carl just says there. You're going to face persecution, opposition. I understand one of our young ladies, well, point her out or say her name, but I understand one of our young ladies stood up for the things of God even yesterday on one of the social networks. And I have no doubt that most likely she faced persecution from that. I personally don't. I'm not on those social networks, but I can already understand that the point that she began to speak godly or speak of the things of God, that moment that she began to do it, she began to be mocked and ridiculed and laughed at and scoffed at. You see, when you live godly and when you speak godly, the world is not going to love you. As a matter of fact, Jesus says it this way. Jesus says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. In John, he says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. So you know what that's a token of? That's a token that Christ was hated before you, and it's Him that they hate, and it's Him that they see in you, and that's the reason why they hate you. Today, the world will call the Christian, this is what I was talking about before, they resist the truth and they call good evil and evil good. They call the Christian intolerant. In some cases, that might be warranted, unfortunately. But in most cases, even today, in the day that we live, in most cases, in true Christianity, it's not intolerance. It's a desire to get the gospel to them. It's not proselytization whenever you're carrying the only truth that there is for them to enter eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord doesn't want, the world does not want a narrow way. They want a wide path. They want to be able to get to heaven on their own terms in their own way. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says that there is a narrow way to Him. And the world wants a wide path. And when you narrow the way, they will reject you and they will hate you because they hated Him. And you say, well, Brother Shannon, then am I supposed to live in persecution? No, the idea here is that you are to live in this daunting world. You are to live the way the Lord wants you to. Our life in a godly manner, our living godly, will bring the persecution. I can show you in all the many places in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 20. It says, "For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." You see, what's acceptable with God is whenever we're living godly and we suffer because of that, that is acceptable to Him. And you know that really Scripture teaches us that this is the way of the Christian. It's suffering. Now, it doesn't mean we bring our own suffering like some in other beliefs will give, where they beat themselves or they do things to themselves, even crucify themselves, and they bring suffering that away. It means that we suffer because we carry the message of the truth, the message of the gospel, boldly and unashamedly to the world. You want to know what your call is for these last days that are dangerous? It's to live them out in full faith. Willing to sacrifice, all of us willing to sacrifice because He did. To emulate our Savior. Not because we want to or that we want to throw it in people's face, but because we love them. And because we're not willing that any should perish. You see, I get the feeling many times in my own life that what He is, I'm not. You see, what godly is, what the word godly means, and we'll cover it again here in a minute, is it literally means that the character of God is placed into my life through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the sword of the Word of God. It's placed into my life and I have the character of my Father. And so whenever He says that our Father is long-suffering and He's not willing that any should perish but all should come to repentance. You know what godliness is in my life? It's me not being willing that any should, that all should come to repentance, that none should perish. It's me having that same character of God in my life. In Matthew chapter number 5, He tells us, "Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely." And you know what He says after that? He says, "For great is your reward in heaven." You know why they persecuted the prophets? They persecuted them the same way. And I expect that whenever we get to heaven, we're going to see the great reward that those prophets reaped from that. The Bible says in Hebrews, it tells us in the hall of faith there, it says the world was not worthy of them. That's how God sees it. You see, we look at persecution as when, and sometimes we'll even look at those that are persecuted and we'll say, "Well, they had it coming. This is what they did." I would tell you that you better start opening your eyes and praying for your brothers and sisters in other places that are being persecuted, whether it's in North Korea or whether it's in China or Afghanistan or any of the places out there in the world, that as we look at them, we better be begging God for their hearts and their souls at the time of their persecution to give them strength. Being asking God that we might be found faithful to do the same. Paul describes to Timothy and to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 in verses 8 through 11. In Acts, it teaches us the very life of what a Christian is. We don't seek these things out. It's the result of us living. There's a difference. If you're seeking persecution out just so you stand out because of your persecution, there's nothing good in that. But if you're facing persecution because of your simple living and the way that you live godly for Him, because He says what? All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, he's not just saying that to the preacher. He's not just saying it to the one that proclaims. He's saying it to the individual that lives godly. The word godly is a way of living.
It's a good way. Amen.
You understand me?
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you help me out by shaking your heads. Others of you help me out by saying amen. And a few of you, I just wonder. A daunting world. You know, it's a daunting thing for young Timothy to hear these words, isn't it? But keep in mind, Paul is saying these words when? right as he's getting ready to exit, and right at the time that Timothy needs to hear it. Timothy, if you live godly, you're going to be no different than me, Timothy. You're going to face persecutions and afflictions and ridicule and all the things that come with it, Timothy. And today, because we live in America, we very rarely teach this truth. As a matter of fact, we have a hard time preaching it at all. And what a shame that is. We're not teaching you to go out and be persecuted. What I'm trying to teach you is to go out and live godly. Amen. Live your life in the character of Him who saved you. Have the character of God. Let Him place it on you. And as you do, you know what will happen? You will be ridiculed. You will face opposition and you will face persecution. That's just the facts. The fourth thing, so we have the dangerous world. We have the defiant world. We have a daunting world. But the next one is very obvious. Look at verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know what that world is? It's a deceitful world. It's the world, and what does that world mean, deceitful? It's the word deceitful means lies, very simply. It means it can mean a lie. If you're talking about a deceitful person, they're a liar. If you're talking about deceiving, it means you deceive them how? By lies. But as we look at that scripture, it gives two descriptions, two people here. Do you see what they are? Evil men and seducers. The word evil there means hurtful, bad-natured, wicked. That's pretty simple. Evil men are going to be the ones that want to bring harm to you. And you know, we've had many protections here in our country with free speech, freedom of religion, the right to bear arms. We could go on down the line and we can describe all of the freedoms that we have in our Bill of Rights and in our Constitution. But you want me to tell you something? Today, those are being challenged, aren't they? Do you know this is the last bastion of freedom? It's been said here, been said by one of our generals and by one of our presidents, that if freedom is lost here, there is no other place to go. This is it. And yet the freedoms that we so dearly love are being taken out from under us and being withdrawn. And what are they doing? Well, right now they're just simply taking you off platforms. And if you've got some kind of a website, you've got some kind of an app that people use, if you've got some means of free speech and they don't like what you say, then really what they do is they deplatform you. They basically take your ability to be able to be on the internet. You don't have all the means and connections and all the things. You may not even have all the computers set up and able to be able to project all that out. You just have a little program and you're using the already methods that are there. But if they don't like what you're saying, you know what they're going to do? They're going to deplatform you. They're going to yank all of it out from underneath of you. We've seen it already happen. It's going to take place more and more.
That's right. They're doing it.
But that's only one step away. You realize how close this is? One step away from if you say it, you're in trouble. What will we do then? Now, I believe that we should be taking a stand right now. And you say, well, how do we take a stand? First of all, you need to be a little more understanding about the world and what's going on. And you need to stop giving them your dollars.
That's right.
And I need to stop giving them my dollars. Do you want me to tell you something? I can name some of them for you. Yep. Amazon, that we all use, is one of the biggest projection companies out there that's trying to get your freedoms yanked away from you. And every time that you order something on there, I know it's easy. I know it is. Some in my family use it like it's no big deal. It's, hey, I'm on. But think about where your money is going and what they're using it for. And it's not just them. I can go down the line and I can name you companies like Coca-Cola. And I can name you some of the companies like AT&T and some of the other companies that are there. And you say, well, Brother Shannon, if we do that, we're not going to have anything. Well, I'll tell you what, if you keep doing it, you're probably not going to have anything either. But it's going to be even worse. You may tell you the only hope that we have right now is being wise and using what little leverage that we've got to wake them up. So we're not going that direction.
Right.
Other ways, you know what they think? Let me tell you, I'll tell you what the world thinks of you. Bah.
Yeah.
Bah.
That's right.
Come on, little sheeple.
Come
on, little sheep. Come over here where I'm at. Do what I'm telling you to do. That's what the world is telling you to do. And some of us don't want to wake up. We hear this stuff and we don't want to believe it and we don't want to think it. And let me tell you, it doesn't change the fact that it's coming down like a hammer. I could say so much more right now. And I'm not trying to be in any way evasive on the subject, but I am trying to motivate you to learn a little bit on your own. You know, if the preacher tells you all the things to do and you don't learn anything, then we're only good for about a week. But if the preacher encourages you to get out there and to learn on your own and to begin to make some decisions on your own and take some stands on your own, even when it's hard, it'll be worth it. You know, there was a time when we could go to our downtown Rochdale, downtown Bainbridge, downtown Greencastle, downtown anywhere, and we would find a local shop owner who we knew what he stood for. He lived in the community. She lived in the community. We knew if they were godly. We knew if they weren't. We knew if what they said was true and what it wasn't. We knew them, and we bought our goods and services from those people. Let me tell you today, we get all of our news from six different entities all over the whole world, six different entities. That's it. That's giving out the news. Did you know that we get we buy our products through just several avenues? Walmart is trying to get 10% of all revenue as far as retail merchandise in the United States. 10%? You say, well, that's not a lot. It's incredible. It's never been thought of that could ever be done. And they're approaching 10%. Amazon is putting them to shame on the internet and other companies like them, and they're capturing the market. And so is it going to be hard for them to say one day, you either shut your mouth or you're not going to be able to buy anything or you're not going to be able to sell your goods? No, we're just that close. We all like to think, and we all hinge on this little thing right here. Well, the Lord's coming back, praise God, Shannon. He's coming back to get me before all this takes place. Boy, you're putting your chips down as a gambler. And not only that, but you know what? I got some baby dolls that I want to see saved. And I got some baby dolls that may be in the balance of what we're talking about here. And I've got church people that may be in the balance. And I've got neighbors that may be in the balance. And I've got, as I look around and I start thinking about all of this, I think, boy, not only do I have to get busy, but also that I better be wise about what I'm doing and protecting my family. A deceitful world. What is the danger? What is the danger? Let me tell you what the danger is. It's that truth is being covered up. It's that truth is being trampled. It's that truth is being laughed at and scoffed at. It's that truth, we're being driven away from truth instead of living in truth. You see, in a deceitful world, there's really two courses. And let me tell you what they are. It's to be deceived, or it's to know the truth and to follow it. That's the two courses. Now, if you're participating heavily in this world, it's music, it's merchandise, and it's things, then I can tell you which course you've chosen. If these things seem laughable to you, seem scoffable to you, so there's a tendency to reject it, then I would say you better examine your life because you're treading on dangerous ground, because this world is deceitful and there's two things that take place. There's evil men that are going to persecute those that stand in the truth. Though in the last days, men are going to what? Wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That means they're either going to be the deceivers and lying to you, or you're on the other end of it. You're just being deceived. And that's where the majority of people fall today, is they're in the deceived. And he names those two people, evil men and seducers. And the word seducer, let me give you this. The word seducer, it literally at the end, it's going to mean imposter. But it's so much more than that, and you need to hear this. And I know that some of you are going to reject it offhand. You can look it up yourself. In the Greek, this word means wizards. incantations. A person who entices someone else away with their magic, if you will. Scary thought, isn't it? Because let me tell you what it is. It's the very things that all of our kids are participating in, and many of us are. Sorcery, we've laughed at it. Isn't it cute? Disney World, little Mickey walking around with his little wand. Oh, it's so cute. Let's buy everybody Mickey Mouse ears. And all the shows, we laugh at them. We put them on TV. Aren't they cute? They don't hurt our kids. No, they've driven our kids to it. Wizardry and sorcery and witchcraft. Forms of witchcraft. Driven them right to it. Incantations. Did you know that most of the films, not most of them, almost every film that is produced by Disney and most of these other companies, when they show the wizards and the wizardry and the sorcery, did you know that the incantations they give are actually real incantations right from their own wizardry books? And you say, well, what's the big deal? That isn't real. It's very real. That's the danger. See, we don't preach here that this is just fun and games. We preach the truth to you that there's something behind that wizardry. And that wizardry that's behind it, or what's behind it, is Satan himself and his minions, the demons. And that power is real. It doesn't hold a candle to the Lord. I know this is hard to hear, folks, but you've got to hear it. That power is real, and that power does have an effect, and that power does. Why do you think our children are driven to the drugs and the excesses and the abuse and the confusion? Why do you think they're there? It's because they've been fooled. They've been seduced by this world. You know, it's easier to turn the preacher off than it is to listen to the truth. They're imposters. Hey, in the last days, the false prophet is going to call fire down from heaven. The Bible doesn't say that that's some kind of imagery. In other words, from the skies, heaven being the sky that we see up above. Hey, he's going to have a power within him because he's going to be empowered by Satan himself. And what he does is going to be to fool the world into believing that he is the Messiah or the chosen one of God somehow. And all the world is going to, most of the world is going to follow after him. The word deceiving, listen to this. It means to sever from the truth. To lead from the truth. And thereby it means to lead to error. It can mean to cause to stray or to lead someone astray. And what does the Bible tell us that in the last days is going to happen? Unless the falling away comes first. Falling away is going to take place. He's talking about in the church. There's going to come the great falling away. You know what that means? From the faith. They're going to walk away from the faith. It's going to be easier. You know why? Because if we're selfish, you cannot give up all that I've asked you to this morning and all the things I've talked to you about. You cannot give them up. You can only do those things in the power of the Lord. You can only begin to live like them. And there is a time right now that we are to separate ourselves from the world. To choose, if you will, who we're going to follow. There's two courses. I'll lay them out for you in a deceitful world. And they're in absolutely polar opposite directions. Let me make that clear. There's not where one, and the one will appear as if it's in some way following down this path of truth. That's how they'll get you. You need to understand this. That they'll have some bits of truth. They'll carry some evidences of reality, or that we think, yes, this is real. But you need to understand that long before they got down this path of truth, they are headed in the opposite direction. They're not headed down the path of truth and then suddenly just barely skewing off of it. They're headed in an absolute opposite direction. There's only two courses. One is against truth or in opposition, and the other one is towards truth. So what is it that they do then? They are headed down this, and they'll sprinkle truth in. Sprinkle just enough truth in to bring you along. I think about us being like a fish. You ever going fishing? I have a little bait that I love to use. It's a plastic worm. It's only about that long. And he comes in a whole bunch of different colors. And he's got a little spot on him. And you know, I've been amazed that I catch more fish with my plastic worm than other guys do with real ones. Almost everywhere I go. And amazing, the fellow passed away that down the road that used to sell them. But I would go down there and he had $1.79. He finally raised it to $2.29 for that little worm. I bought him for years. Every time I get ready to go fishing, I go down there, I buy two or three more. And I'd forget that I had them in there. And I got my little tackle box here a while back. And when I looked inside that tackle box, I had like 40 of them things I hadn't used down the bottom. Because I'd just go in there, I'd buy a few. And I thought I was using them all up. And they just kept falling to the bottom. And I looked down there and there they were. But I'm amazed. I go out there and I throw. Why in the world, if you were a fish and you eat worms, why would you settle for a plastic worm? Why wouldn't you go up, if especially, you know, I mean, I know we're talking about fish, but you get the idea with the illustration is us, okay? Why wouldn't I go up there and sniff it? Why wouldn't I go up there and just see? Why wouldn't I just take a better look at the thing? I could tell it wasn't a real worm. But you know what they do? They go up and this is the way the fish hit this thing. I'll be pulling this little thing through and bam, just like that. One gulp, they take it in. Let me tell you, that's how most Christians are today with what's going on in the world and what we're swallowing and what we're taking in. The world puts it out there just like this. It's a plastic worm. It's lies. It's full of deceit. It's full of trying to pull us away from the Lord and pull us into their system and in their world. And you know what we're like? We're like that big old fish that sees it swimming by and we're like, oh, I got to have it. Bam, and we take it. Let me tell you, the problem is the same for you as it is that fish. There's a hook that you cannot get away from. And it gets hooked inside of your mouth and you can't get away from it. Before long, that's the way you're living. And you know, you may tell you how you can see this is if you get around godly people and you have contradiction and conflict with them, you have a hard time being around the truth. You have a hard time sitting when the truth is preached. You have a hard time listening to the truth. I would go home and I would say, oh Lord, help me. You don't know how many times that I say this, Lord, help me. I don't understand all that I'm seeing, but you, my heart, you have my attention. And Lord, I don't want to be caught up in these things. I don't want my family to be swallowed up. But Lord, that means I don't want to be swallowed up in it. Keep my eyes open and let me see it. A deceitful world. Two courses. One is in opposition to the truth. It's opposed to the truth. It's opposed to us. It's opposed to the direction of the Lord. And the other one is very simple. It's in the way of truth. It submits to truth. It does truth. It speaks truth. But most importantly, it abides in truth. That's what it loves. Which course are you on this morning? Which course are you on this morning? Now, I'm going to finish early this morning because I'm not even going to get started in trying to preach the determined course, even though that was the title of the message. But we have led up to all of that. These four things that we have looked up to then is going to demand something from you. You want me to tell you what it's going to demand? It's going to demand that you determine your course. If we're living in a dangerous, defiant, daunting, and deceitful world, then we better make sure that we are going to determine our course. You know what, and I've said it, this is the second Sunday in a row, and I'll say it again. You know what Joshua said to the children of Israel? He said, you have two paths that you can look at. One is back there in Egypt. You remember when we were in Egypt and what it looked like back there and all the things that were? And then we came over here, and when we got over here and into the promised land, you know what he said? It's the same way. You say, no, it wasn't. It was promised land. Yes, it was. It had the Amorites, the Jebusites. It had all of the world still in it. You know what they did? The same thing that the Egyptians did. They went and worshiped false gods. They had false belief. They did not have the truth. And there they were before the children of Israel. And so Joshua says, you had the Egyptians back here. You have the Amorites right here in front of you. But I'm asking you to do this. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to choose the Lord against our will, against the difficulties that's in here. We're going to every day bow and ask the Lord to help us to choose wisely the Lord. Amen. Now the question for you is, have those decisions been made in your heart? I'm not sure when, because tonight we have communion. But in the next week or so, we'll preach the determined course. And you're going to see there's just five essential things that Paul lays out here in these scriptures in order for you to be able to follow the determined course. I'd ask you to prepare your hearts for those. You can go ahead and search the scriptures. You'll find them. If you search like I did, you'll see them here as well. But I'm going to ask you to pray and say, God, give me a heart to only choose the determined course, which is you, that course. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your people. Now, Father, we give this time of invitation to you, asking that you would work among us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that hearts would yield themselves where they had been swallowed up and where they had yielded to the world and where they're in confusion. They're not even sure, Lord, about the path that they're on. I pray that today would bring a knowledge of that and they would begin to turn towards you. We give this time to you and trust you with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.